Welcome to another episode of COVID Chronicles, a podcast by, for, and about people affiliated with Portland Mennonite Church in Portland, Oregon. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum, and my guest is Bob Hoffman. Welcome, Bob. It's great to have you with me.
Good to be here.
We're going to start, as usual, at the beginning. Are you a native Oregonian, or where were you born, and where did life start for you?
I am not a native Oregonian, though, although I tend to think that it's fairly close because of the number of years I've lived here. I was born in North Dakota. My father was a pastor in a small Mennonite church, and I lived in the northeastern corner of North Dakota for the first 6 years of my life.
What was the name of the town?
The nearest town of any size was Langdon, and there weren't too many large towns in that part of North Dakota. Not that there are many large ones anywhere in North Dakota, but anyhow, small rural community.
Do you know how your parents came to be living there?
Yeah, my father grew up there in that area of North Dakota, so it was pretty much their home turf.
So for 6 years, and then what?
Then my father took a church in Minnesota, in Butterfield, Minnesota, which is near Mountain Lake, which there are a fair number of Mennonites from there, including some people who currently attend Portland Mennonite. It was the first Mennonite church in Butterfield, and we lived there for the next 5 years. And then we moved out to Oregon.
Because?
We had family out in Oregon, and I think my parents were ready for a change. My dad was feeling that it was time for him to leave the church in Butterfield to move on. And we heard lots of good stories about Oregon from family members, and it seemed like a good place to move to at that point in their lives.
How many siblings do you have, and where do you fit in the family?
There are seven of us. There were seven. There are six now. I'm the third from the oldest. I have five brothers and one sister who has passed away.
Do you have any memories of, say, summertime in either North Dakota or Minnesota, things that you were able to do or that may be different from how life is today?
Well, I guess the main thing I remember are mosquitoes and tornado warnings. I remember being frightened by the tornado warnings that came on over the radio and always worried that this would be the one that would hit us. Fortunately, it never happened, but that was sort of always in the back of my mind when we lived there.
And if something had happened, where were you supposed to go?
To a corner of the basement, which I don't remember right now which corner it was. I think even back then, it was always kind of nebulous. There was one corner of the basement that was considered safer. So anyhow, some corner of the basement, I guess, was the place where we would try to go if that should happen.
What were some of your first memories of Oregon? And first of all, how did you get here? Did you drive, I assume, or?
Yes, our family came out in all of us in the car, an old Ford sedan. And somehow, at that point, there were eight of us. One brother was born in Oregon the next year. So it was pretty crowded, but some of us were pretty small then. So we came out to Oregon in that car. Dad was pulling a trailer with a few of the family's belongings in it. We made a couple of stops to visit grandparents in South Dakota at national parks along the way. It probably took us 5 days or so altogether to get to Oregon. And what was your other question? Did you ask about
your first memories? And where did you come to in Oregon? Was it Portland or?
We moved to Dallas, Oregon. For those who don't know, it's a small town west of Salem, kind of on the way to the coast.
And that was a bit of a Mennonite community?
Yes, there were three Mennonite churches there at the time, and we got involved with Grace Mennonite Church, which was at the time a General Conference church. My grandparents attended there, and my aunt and uncle and my cousins also attended there, so kind of had that going for us. In addition, my parents knew some other people from the church from the past.
Your father was not pastoring at this point?
My dad left the pastorate at that point. I think he was open to the possibility of taking another church on, but it didn't happen. And I think he was kind of happy for a chance to be away from being a pastor for a while. And I think as time went on, he found other work. And he was always very involved in the church. And I know that he pretty quickly was teaching Sunday school and serving as a deacon, doing lots of things in the church, even though he wasn't preaching every Sunday.
And what was he doing to bring in money?
He worked a variety of jobs for a while, eventually ended up working at the Oregon State Hospital in Salem as a psychiatric aide. And he did that for, I think, the next 15 years. And then the last 5 years of his working life, he worked as a groundskeeper on the hospital grounds.
So where did you go to school after you moved to Dallas?
I spent the first year at a grade school, Lyle Elementary School, then 3 years at the Dallas Junior High School, and then the last 3 years at Dallas High School. So yeah, I graduated from Dallas High School, you know, fairly small school in a small town, and graduated in 1967. Just a couple of years ago, I had the 50th reunion of our graduating class.
Did you go?
Yes.
Was there ever any thought of going to Western Mennonite?
I didn't really think about going to Western Mennonite at the time. I'm not sure that I was even aware that there was a Western Mennonite. My older brother attended Salem Academy for a couple of years, but I never really gave a thought to attending a school other than the high school in Dallas.
And by the time you graduated, did you know what was coming next?
I definitely was planning on college. I kind of went back and forth about where I wanted to attend college. My sister had attended a Bible college, Grace Bible Institute in Nebraska. Thought about that for a little bit. Had friends who were attending Multnomah School of the Bible in Portland. Ended up going there and being roommates with my best friend from high school, which was kind of a nice, I guess, buffer going into college. Then I spent 2 years at Multnomah. From there, I moved on to Mount Hood Community College. Spent 2 years there, and then 2 years to finally get my degree, bachelor's in English at Portland State.
And at what point in all of these college years did you finally make a decision about what your major would be, or was that always kind of known, or you felt that that was where you wanted to go?
I got really interested in journalism when I attended Multnomah. I ended up participating in the school newspaper as a photo editor for a while, and got to be a sports editor, which I had a lot of fun doing. Spent a lot of time in the darkroom.
What's a darkroom?
A darkroom, developing pictures for the newspaper and the yearbook as well.
That's a different concept for the younger generation.
Yes, we were developing photos the old-fashioned way.
Literally.
Yeah. Yeah, I spent probably several hundred hours in the darkroom developing pictures that some of them which ended up being published in the newspaper and others in the yearbook.
So yes. This was always kind of in your mind, writing and journalism, as you say.
Yeah, and I was able to, at Multnomah, everyone has a Bible major, so I couldn't major in journalism, but I was able to do a minor in journalism. Then when I went to Mount Hood, I continued with the journalism major. I wasn't able to major in journalism at Portland State because that wasn't an option. So I decided to switch to English and ended up with a bachelor's in English from PSU.
And what was the plan with an English degree? You and I both have English degrees, so I'm always curious.
Yeah, I don't know that I had at that point a real good long-range plan. I was probably a little more idealistic then, and I was just thinking, well, I like to read, I like to write. I'm going to major in English. So that's what I did. And I thought, well, something will show up. Oh, I suppose I thought ideally I would find some publication to work for when I graduated. But I basically kind of did that more on the seat of my pants and sort of ended up finishing without a thought of maybe getting an English teacher certificate or something like that. So I didn't even at that point have the option of teaching. So I was kind of, when I got the degree, I just sort of struck out and started looking for work. I didn't find a publication to work for. My first real job was working for a company called AdMail. It's a company that provides basically mailing services for other companies and nonprofits. And they basically provide printing, folding, inserting, addressing, and mail preparation for other companies and nonprofits. And I drove truck. I ran various machines while I worked there. And
where was this? In Portland or?
Yeah, it was in Portland. Company is still around, as far as I know. I sort of thought I would work a couple of years there and then move on. I ended up being there for a total of almost 21 years. So it ended up being almost half of my life career's work, I would say.
Were you ever able to use your writing skills at that job?
No, not really. I guess the closest thing that I came to actually using the writing was a friend and I somehow started making cards for people. If they were having a birthday or they were leaving employment at AdMail, he was an artist. I would go to work and create some kind of a poem, and usually with a little bit of humor in it. And it was sort of specific to the person's, you know, we tried to individualize it for the person. So that was probably about as much as I really used that there.
During the college years, were you involved in church in any way?
Yes. So the first church that I got involved in Portland, and that was probably around 1975, was the old Alberta Community Mennonite Church, which later became Peace Mennonite Church when they moved out to Gresham. So I knew some people that were attending there, including my older brother and his wife. And so I got married in 1975, and my wife and I at the time began attending there. And we became members at some point and were also involved in the building of Peace Mennonite Church. When they moved out there and bought a piece of property, we were pretty involved in helping construct that building out there.
So what came next after these 21 years of your quote-unquote temporary job?
Somewhere along the line, decided that I wanted to go back to school. And I thought about it for a long time before I actually did it and actually considered the possibility of going back and getting a teacher's certificate. Decided not to do that. At some point I began, for some reason I had some contact with some nurses and began to start thinking about, maybe I could go into healthcare. So I did a little bit of a test run. I decided to just take a couple of classes. Science and math had never been a strength for me. the first time through college. And I knew I was going to need to be able to do that stuff if I was going to have success in nursing school. So I took a biology class. Then I took an algebra class. And these were classes that I would need anyhow for the nursing major. And at some point, I decided to go for it. And I was taking classes at Portland Community College part-time while continuing to work. Anyhow, I began working on the pre-nursing classes with the goal of getting into a nursing program. I kind of wavered about where I wanted to go to school for the actual nursing. And after a couple of years at PCC doing those prerequisites, I ended up going to the University of Portland to get the bachelor's degree. It took me a little longer than most. I ended up taking a total of 7 years altogether to get all the way through. There were a few times when I took only one or two classes a term, usually just in the evenings or weekends.
Were you still working full-time or at least part-time?
For the most part, I continued to work full-time. The exception was that there was one summer term that I took 10 weeks off for. Basically, I did a full 4 years of chemistry and a nutrition class during that term. So yes, I was working for the most part and going to school. And here's where working at a place running machinery kind of helped me out in a way, because I was able to run the addressing machine, which I'd run for a long time, and do it almost mindlessly at a certain point, and found that I was able to study while I worked. So I could say that working that particular job really helped me to find time to study. So I have to credit the old job for letting me to move into a new career.
So you ended up with a bachelor's and an RN as well?
Yeah, so the bachelor's in nursing, and then you sit for the state boards to get your license and become an actual registered nurse. And after I graduated, within, I'd say, about another month later, I took the nursing boards and fortunately passed, had that behind me, and then all I had to do was find work.
And?
My first job was working for an agency that provides nursing services for people who have developmental disabilities. It was called Good Shepherd Lutheran Home at the time, later became Good Shepherd Communities. And I basically provided nursing services for adults who live in group homes who have developmental disabilities. That was a part-time job. And at some point, I took an additional part-time job working as a staff nurse at the VA Medical Center. And so for 3 years, I worked half-time at each of those two positions, mostly nights at the VA. I was on a chemo floor, and at a certain point, I became proficient enough to get chemo certified and to basically work with cancer patients. So yeah, I did that for another 3 years. And then I left the VA and took a full-time position with Good Shepherd and basically did that position, providing nursing services up until 2007. Also in there, I remarried, was divorced in 1985, had two sons, and I met and married Angel Nowrot, who many of you have met, and we married in 2002. Been very happy being married to Angel. We've had good years together. Then in 2007, Angel had been looking for work in her field of graphic design and having some difficulties finding steady work. She got an opportunity to take a position in Washington, D.C. at the U.S. Department of State. So we talked it over and we decided to move back there for a couple of years. It ended up being about 10 years instead of two. So we were a little bit surprised that it ended up being a little bit different than we'd planned, because we had always planned to move back to Oregon. We just didn't expect it to be so long before we moved back. But I think both of us are happy that we did that. Angel's family, most of them lived on the East Coast in Baltimore area, and we were able to spend some time with them. We were also able to travel around the East Coast and see all the eastern states. And also it was just kind of wonderful to be able to live in Washington, D.C. for all that time and to be able to get to know the city, to visit the Smithsonians and the monuments, and also to make some friends out there. Yeah, so I have two sons, Matthew, the oldest, and Andrew, the youngest. Matthew is married to Angela, and there are four grandkids, children of Matthew's. And then Andrew and Tia, the youngest, they have three children. And so, yes, I have a total of seven grandkids, and always good to see them. Happy to have the opportunity to see them a little more often now that we're living in Oregon again. So I must not forget to mention that.
So there are two more things that I want to be sure and touch on. One is, how did you get to Portland Mennonite?
Yeah, so Portland Mennonite, you know, I grew up in the Mennonite church. My dad, as I said, was a pastor in the Mennonite church. I had pretty much always attended Mennonite churches. So after that time at Peace Mennonite, I moved on to join the group out in Clackamas, which was initially called Mennonite Covenant Fellowship and later Sunrise Mennonite Church. Then somewhere, I'd say the late 90s, maybe 97 or so, I started thinking about moving on. Right around the same time, that group was making a decision to close down. So I started visiting a few churches. Portland Mennonite was definitely one of the churches on the list I wanted to check out. And after going there a number of times, I decided, oh, I think I could probably fit in here. And it helped that I knew some people that attended Portland Mennonite, and it was very convenient, not really too far to go. Angel and I ended up buying a house really close on 48th Avenue, Southeast. And it just worked out really well for me to attend there. So I made the connection. And I think for the first few years, I was not always the most consistent with my attendance. Luckily, nobody, as far as I know, was checking that. But after 10 years in D.C., that was where I wanted to be, and came back to church there. And last year, finally became a member at PMC.
And I know that you do some writing for Rejoice, which is the Mennonite Church USA and Mennonite Church Canada devotional. And I'm just wondering, now we know you're a writer because it's what you majored in first, but tell me a little bit about how you got connected and started writing for Rejoice.
I believe it was through a former pastor, Judy Unrau, who co-pastored Sunrise Mennonite Church. I believe she mentioned to me that she had been doing some writing for them and suggested that I might want to plug in there. And so I contacted the editor, and they gave me a chance, and I began to write for Rejoice. And I've probably done about 1 week of devotionals about every 1 to 1.5 years ever since. And it's sort of one of those things that it's always a little bit challenging. You have to be pretty creative. You've got to fit your writing into this limited space, about 250 words. And sometimes it can take a little bit of work to fit everything in and to meet the goal of that particular devotional. But it's been good for me, I think. It's sort of given me kind of incentive to continue to write. So yeah, it's something I've continued to do, and it's been overall a good experience for me.
Well, as someone who reads Rejoice, it's always wonderful when I glance through who the writers are and I find somebody whose name I know. So thank you for doing that. I'm always amazed at how people can come up with the stories that they do that seem to match the scriptures. It seems almost impossible to me. So,
yeah, it's nice to know that there are some people who read it, actually. And sometimes you wonder, is anybody going to actually read this? But I know there are a lot of dedicated Rejoice readers, and I am able to read some of the letters from people from time to time, and I know a lot of people really do appreciate having that resource there.
Well, on behalf of those of us who do read it, thank you very much for your work with that.
You're welcome.
And thank you so much for taking the time to share some of your stories with us.
You're quite welcome, Gloria.
And thank you for joining us for this episode of COVID Chronicles. We hope you discovered something new and feel more connected to your friends at Portland Mennonite. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum. Until next time, stay well and keep the faith.